This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we get you set for the rest of this Christmas week and the games that we are going to see on Christmas, coming up here on Wednesday on Christmas Eve, we only have one game. It's a standalone game, the Hawaii Bowl between Hawaii and Cal. We will preview that coming up in a little bit. We're also going to be joined coming up in about 15 minutes or so from our very own Greg Hoops Peterson. Going to get his take on what we've seen so far this season in college basketball. Any futures bets that we should be making right now as we head towards this holiday break, or we are in this holiday break. But I wanted to start with the NFL because we do have a slate of games coming up here on Christmas. Obviously, Circa Survivor headed towards this Christmas week where you have to wonder if the contestants are chopping at this point. I know that there's, I believe, five of the remaining contestants do have the Dallas Cowboys available. And so you wonder with the Cowboys taking on likely Josh Johnson at quarterback here for the Commanders, if that's the team that they want to go with. And the value on that entry is just greater than what we're going to see with Chris Oladukun at quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. And maybe no one has the Broncos available and Max Brosmer for the Vikings, and maybe no one has the Lions available. So I think it's going to be fascinating. We'll get more into that coming up here this week. Actually, I can tell you right now, we have 10 entries that are here survived in week number 17, or in week number 17. And as I mentioned, yes, five entries do have the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody has Denver available. Nobody has Detroit available. One contestant has Kansas City available, everybody has Minnesota available, and everybody except for one contestant has Washington available. This one contestant, Gary A., he is going to choose between Kansas City or Minnesota. Those are the only two teams that he can select, Kansas City or Minnesota. No one has Denver, no one has Detroit. You have Dallas available for five entries. And then for some of the entries here, like if you have Dallas, you're in a great spot because you have the favorite. You have the only favorite. The five contestants that have Dallas are in the strength position. They have the favorite. Nobody can take any of the other favorites. And for the other contestants, you got to pick your poison. Do you go with Minnesota and Max Brosmer at quarterback? That's official. It's Max Brosmer at quarterback against the Detroit Lions. Or do you go with Washington and Josh Johnson at quarterback against the Dallas Cowboys? Now, here's where some strategy does come into play. And at this point, like, you're making money off your entry at this point in Circa Survivor. You know, you're talking to Jeff Benson and Derek and the crew and Mike Palm and everybody, and you're getting the credit lines figured out, and you're profiting off your entry. Like, the value of your entry is like up to almost $2 million. Like, you're fine, right? You're making money off of this thing. But think about the strategy here. If you take Washington, right, if you're one of these contestants that your only choice is Minnesota or Washington, first off, you have both home dogs. Right. So that's if you're going to take a dog, which you are forced to. But if you're going to take a dog, at least you got the home dog. You're not taking a road dog here. I mean, all three home teams are dogs, but you get the point. You're a little bit more confident, if you can be confident, but you're a little easy. It's a little easier to take a home dog than taking a team on the road. Right. But think about the strategy here. Don't you take. And I'm not great at this contest stuff. Look, I got eliminated way early in the season. But I would think for, like, game theory, you take Washington. Because if Washington wins, that means that all five people that took Dallas have been eliminated. So that means that the pool is now cut in half. Five people that took Dallas are out. You survived with Washington winning that game. and then you move on to the Sunday week, to week 17B. Like, there's no reason to take Minnesota if you have Washington available for game theory purposes. Because, like, how, what do you want to happen? Like, I guess if you take Minnesota, right, and Dallas wins, well, okay, Dallas wins, you took Minnesota, and if Minnesota somehow wins and survives, all right, cool, you're alive with the five other people that took Dallas. But if you take Minnesota and Washington wins, well, you are now, I guess you're still alive with, you know, now both underdogs win. And now you're sitting here with the people that had maybe the lesser value in their entry because they had Washington or Minnesota. I don't know. Again, I'm not great at this game theory, the game theory here with the contests, but that's where we sit right now in Circa Survivor with 10 contestants. The implied value of your entry is $1.87 million. Five out of the 10 have Dallas available. They will for sure take Dallas. And then everybody has Minnesota available. Good luck. Nine out of the 10 have Washington available. One contestant has Kansas City available if they would like to back Chris Oladukun as a 13-point home dog against the Denver Broncos. Good luck with that. Here's your spreads right now for your Christmas Day NFL slate. The Dallas Cowboys, 7-point favorites here at Circa. It's minus 115 juiced over the Washington Commanders. With the news that it is Max Brosmer starting at quarterback, the line in the Lions game against Minnesota went off the 7, and now it is Detroit minus 7.5. Now, it's only a half-point move from 7 to 7.5. It is a strong move going off the 7 to the 7.5. But the reason why it's only the small move here is not because of the difference between J.J. McCarthy and Max Brosmer, which may not be that big because, I mean, they both stink. But it is because the initial line was already baking in that J.J. McCarthy wasn't going to play. Because McCarthy left the game on Sunday with the fracture in his hand, it was pretty much known that Brosmer was going to start. Once it became official, you had a slight move from the 7 to the 7.5. It makes sense. And then Kansas City hosting Denver. Denver, a 13.5-point favorite here at Circa over Chris Oladukun and the Kansas City Chiefs. Actually, as I'm speaking right now, Circa just flashed down to 13. So they just moved it right now here. Denver, 13-point favorites at the Kansas City Chiefs. We have a bunch of injury news around the NFL as it pertains to these Christmas games and also the Saturday games as well. We have Baltimore at Green Bay, Packers 3-point favorites, and Houston at the Chargers, LA a 2-point favorite. Bunch of players did not practice here on Tuesday. And how much of that is serious injury that they are in jeopardy of missing the games, or how much of it is just, well, it's a short week. You're going to give guys a break here on your Tuesday practice because everyone's banged up here at this point. It's week 17 of the NFL season. But Aaron Jones was limited in practice for the Minnesota Vikings, and we already know that Jordan Mason is not expected to play. So the backup running back, who has been a big goal line feature for them, he is not expected to play. So Aaron Jones was limited in practice, probably just getting him rested because he's going to have a big role here against the Detroit Lions. Also, TJ Hockenson, the tight end, missed practice as well. They're going to need him, certainly. The tight end, we always say, is a backup quarterback or a rookie quarterback's best friend. Max Brosmer is going to need his tight end in TJ Hockenson. For the Dallas Cowboys, Javonte Williams was limited in practice. And so you wonder what his availability and status is going to be for this game. The Cowboys already announced, like, everyone's still playing. Dak Prescott's still playing. Like, they're, even though their season's been eliminated, these guys are still playing. David Montgomery for the Lions missed practice with an illness. As long as he's feeling good and healthy for Thursday, he should be good to go. And then the other injury news that we're going to monitor for the Sunday slate of games, George Kittle. Considered, I guess, day-to-day, if you will. He's dealing with a mid-to-low ankle sprain. So the report on George Kittle from San Francisco is that he avoided any serious injury with a high ankle sprain. It's just a mid-to-low ankle sprain. He did not practice, and he's going to, they're going to monitor him, I guess, throughout the course of this week. The other news that we're tracking here throughout the NFL, no surprise, but like Justin Fields is not coming back for the Jets. He has officially been placed on IR. That just means that the Jets have an open roster spot that they can now fill for the final 2 weeks of the season. But Aaron Glenn already came out. The Jets already came out and said that it's going to be Brady Cook as their quarterback for the next 2 weeks, for the final 2 weeks of the season. So not really a big issue here. It just means that Justin Fields won't be dressed and serve as a backup, and the Jets will have an open roster spot for somebody to come in here and play in the final 2 weeks of the season. We know about a couple of suspensions that will impact the games coming up here this weekend. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be without DK Metcalf, not just for this week, but also for their Week 18 game against the Ravens. He is suspended for 2 games for that altercation that he had with a fan in their game on Sunday. There is a chance, though, if the Ravens lose on Saturday, that this game for the Steelers doesn't mean anything, and they have already clinched. They've already clinched, so they don't need him, and he was suspended, and it is what it is. Also, for the Chargers, they are going to be without one of their key defenders in Denzel Perryman, one of their star linebackers. He will miss the next 2 games after he was suspended for multiple violations of the league's health and safety rules as it pertains to getting flagged for all these penalties for hits and whatnot. So no Denzel Perryman for the Chargers coming up here against the Houston Texans on Saturday. That could be a big loss for them here in the final 2 weeks of the regular season. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by our very own Greg Peterson, host of Coast to Coast Hoops, available on the VSiN family of podcasts. We'll get his take on the early portion here of the college basketball season. Any teams we should be looking at in the futures market as we are here in the holiday week. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With the NFL season winding down, we are in week 17. The college football season is winding down as well. We're in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. Pretty soon, it's going to be about hoops and hockey. Right? The NHL will have its Winter Classic coming up on January 2nd, and then we'll get to this stretch run of the season. The Winter Olympic break's going to be coming up next year. That's going to be exciting. The NBA officially really starts on Christmas. We all know that. And then it's going to be an exciting run towards the second season, the 3-month playoff that we have coming up. And college hoops is going to take front and center. Once we get into the heart of the conference schedule and then getting into the month of February, leading into the month of March. When it comes to college hoops, there is no one better than our man, Hoops Peterson. Greg Peterson joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Catch his podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, wherever you get your pods from. You can check out Greg's write-ups up on vsin.com. And Greg, we're in the holiday break now of the college basketball season, and I took a look at the futures market because I think some teams are pretty interesting at this point, and I would love to get your take on what we have seen so far from these programs. Your favorite to win the national championship is Michigan at plus 475 right now, followed by Arizona at plus 850. UConn is 10-1, and Duke is 11-1. Of those top four teams, Greg, who's the best team that you've seen so far this season?
I mean, it just has to be Michigan. It goes without saying what they did out here in Las Vegas during Thanksgiving. It was one of the most remarkable tournament runs I've ever seen in my life, obviously, aside from the NCAA tournament. And they've just continued to do it, like blowing out Rutgers by 40 points. They blew out LaSalle a few days ago by 50 points. This team just continues to back it up. They've got improved guard play from a season ago. They've got the big men down low that are rock solid. That said, right now, the top three, top four teams, if you're looking to place a futures bet, I wouldn't want to right now just because when you get into conference games, these games typically get a lot more tight. Like, Michigan is going to have to play against Purdue. They're going to have to play against Michigan State. Those are going to be some rough matchups. For Arizona, they're going to have to play against Iowa State. UConn probably should be able to roll in pretty much all their games aside from going up against St. John's, but I mean, they should be in rock solid shape. Duke as well. But that said, I will be taking a look at more of these longer shots. And for me personally, when it comes to college basketball, it's the most unpredictable tournament because in the NFL, in Major League Baseball, insert your favorite sport here, you can sort of simulate, okay, they're going to play this team in round number one, this team in round number two. With 365 Division I teams, best of luck trying to determine who you're going to be playing in the NCAA tournament.
Well, that's why I like in the futures market now, you can bet the regular season conference winners. So you can look at some of these teams. You avoid maybe, you know, the conference tournaments that you don't know what's going to happen once they get to these neutral sites. And you can, you know, maybe a team just suffers a hiccup here in the conference tournament. But if you can truly identify which of these teams, Greg, that you feel are going to dominate in their conference play, you can bet the outright regular season conference winner. The aforementioned Michigan Wolverines, minus 190 favorites to win the Big Ten. Do they have any big opposition, or is this the bet to make to win the Big Ten regular season title?
And what you bring up is so great because now you're looking at known elements. You know exactly who Michigan is going to be playing in the regular season of the Big Ten. You know exactly who Duke is going to be playing, what have you. I just would not be willing to lay the minus 190, mainly because playing against Michigan State is like going to the dentist. This team has held Arkansas to fewer than 70 points. They held Kentucky to fewer than 70 points. I know that they take that loss to Duke, but this team is just rock solid defensively, and that's a team that's going to have absolutely no given whatsoever. You know that night in, night out, they're going to bring it under Tom Izzo. Should Michigan be the favorite to win the Big Ten? Absolutely. There is no debate there. Laying minus 190 in December, having your money tied up for multiple months, and having to go up against Michigan State, having to go up against Purdue, and we have to throw in their one team as well. This Nebraska Cornhuskers team is right now undefeated in the Big Ten, went on the road about a week or so ago, knocked off Illinois. That's a team that might be a little bit pesky as well, and we also know that in the Big Ten, home court environment seems to mean more in that conference than any other in all of college basketball. So absolutely, I think that Michigan State should be able to win the Big Ten. Just not a bet that I'm looking to make at minus 190, though.
Duke is a minus 140 favorite to win the ACC regular season title. Who's their biggest competition in that conference?
And I would much rather lay a minus 140 with Duke rather than a minus 190 with Michigan, because let's call it what it is. In the ACC, you've got Louisville. Louisville has been very solid. They took a loss against Tennessee, but other than that, they have been rolling. Past that, you've got North Carolina. I will say, the defense for North Carolina is much improved this year. They are back to going back to having big men that do a great job of rebounding. Last year or two, it felt like they got away from that. That was always a staple under Roy Williams. Now you've got Caleb Wilson. You've got Henry Vassar. These guys are absolutely amazing. So, I mean, those teams are solid. And then you've got more of those fringe teams, like at NC State. That is solid under Will Wade. And I mean, he's coaching up his team when they're leading by 35 points and getting after them as if they're down 35 points, which I absolutely love to see. Virginia is a relatively solid team, but those teams like Syracuse, are they really going to be able to seek up? No. So if you're looking at one of those two bets to make, I would much rather lay the minus 140 with Duke because, for one, the juice is much, much less. And for two, there's just not as many top teams in the ACC as there are in the Big Ten.
Our very own Greg Hoops Peterson joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. Catch Greg's podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, wherever you get your podcasts from. Taking a look at Duke in particular, how good is Cameron Boozer? Like, he's the favorite right now to win the Wooden Award as the National Player of the Year. Is he as good as advertised, Greg?
Oh, he absolutely is. The guy is putting up a double-double. He's right now the leader in assists on that team as well. This team really comes and goes as Boozer does, and that'd be Cameron Boozer. He's actually got another brother, Caden Boozer. He's coming off the bench. He's been solid. Don't want to be betting on Caden Boozer to win Player of the Year. Sorry, Caden Boozer, but that time might be coming a little bit more in the future. But I mean, for Cameron Boozer, he's been absolutely spectacular for the team, and he's very much a rightful favorite for this award. Now, could we see someone like a Yaxel Lendeborg be able to step up on Michigan? Could we see someone on Arizona? Because that's more of a just whole collective with Arizona right now. You don't necessarily have that one dominant player. Cope, he had that big game night number one against Florida, but ever since that, he hasn't even been the leading scorer for his own team. That's going to be interesting to be able to decipher, but I really do think that Boozer is the real deal. He deserves to be the rightful favorite right now for the Wooden Award, and he might not quite be Cooper Flagg. I don't think he's as far off as a lot of people think, though.
To win the national championship, as I mentioned, those are your favorites in Michigan, Arizona, UConn, and Duke. Selfishly, Greg, let me ask you a question here. Have you seen any flaws with St. John's? Because coming into the season, the Johnnies were a team that was expected to contend here for the Big East, expected to contend for a national title. Not ranked right now, 8-4 on the season. Any problems that you're seeing here with Rick Pitino's squad?
The big question that I had coming into the year, and it's still a big question right now, who's that main lead point guard for St. John's? Because you knew that they were going to be very rock solid down low, and they have been. Zuby Edgefer does a great job. You bring in Dylan Mitchell. This team does an amazing job of being able to grab second and third chances. And the three-point shooting with Jusson Tanon and company, it has improved from a season ago, but you don't have that main ball handler. I remember Rick Pitino when his team lost to Kentucky a few days ago, he said, RJ Lewis is not walking through that door. And well, at this point, actually, he might, because with the way that they're bringing in G League players and these international men of mystery, you know, I'm like pretty much mid-season free agency acquirances in college basketball. That's a whole different discussion for a different show on a different day. But that said, with the St. John's team, the biggest thing is they played a very, very tough schedule. Like, I am losing on a neutral court by one possession against Iowa State. Absolutely no shame in that. It's not like they're taking terrible losses. Now, a lot of people are looking at Kentucky and there are their question marks with them, but they just got back Jane Quantens, and of course they unleashed him against St. John's. So the biggest thing for them is, can they find that main point guard? And now they're in a Big East that really, other than UConn, there's not a lot of competition there. We expected more out of Marquette. Marquette has not been great this season. Creighton, it seems like they're improving, but they have been a disappointment as well. So for the St. John's team, they do have some games in Big East play to really figure it out.
All right, well, hopefully they do. Greg, we got about a minute left. Have you placed any bets for the NFL slate on Christmas yet?
Well, I can tell you, I'm crossing out that Chiefs versus Broncos game. I want absolutely no part of that whatsoever. But I do think that Cowboys game is interesting. I know that you were talking about that game a little bit earlier. The Cowboys are a little bit banged up. And yeah, the motivation factor might not be quite as strong in this game, and you've got injuries on both sides, but I do think that with the Cowboys, they are going to have Dak Prescott really going out there, giving them a good effort against a Commanders team that, I, even if you want to go back to last year, that Commanders defense was just very, very poor. It has shown itself this season with a little bit less of the deodorant on the offensive side of things, so I'm looking at the Cowboys on Christmas Day.
Yeah, against Josh Johnson, likely at quarterback here for the Commanders. Greg, appreciate the time. Have a very Merry Christmas, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you, Scott. Thank you.
There he is, our very own Greg Hoops Peterson. Make sure you catch Coast to Coast Hoops wherever you get your podcasts from, and check out Greg's write-ups up on vscene.com. Coming up next, the problem with the bowl games that we've seen here in college football. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on vscene, the Sports Betting Network.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we continue to progress throughout bowl season in college football. And we will work our way eventually to the second round or the quarterfinals of the college football playoff, which will begin on New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day. So we got a ways to go before we get there. We have one bowl game coming up here on Christmas Eve. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But we had three bowl games here on Tuesday that furthered the notion that these bowl games, they've just been ridiculous. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. We have seen some bad football being played over the last couple of weeks here in bowl games. Let's just talk to you by the numbers real quick. Our very own Dave Tooley pointing this out in his View from Vegas. Favorites are 6-5 straight up overall in bowl season so far, but the underdogs are 6-5 ATS. 3-0 sweep here on Tuesday, by the way. Unders have been the best bowl bet so far. 8-3 in the 11 bowl games that we have seen so far this season. We are 8-3 to the under. We had three bowl games here on Tuesday. In the first game, we saw just a clinic in ineptitude. I don't know how else you want to put it. Louisville beat Toledo 27-22. The game miraculously goes over with a bunch of points scored in the fourth quarter. 19 points by Toledo in the fourth quarter, 13 points by Louisville in the fourth quarter. Literally, this was a 7-3 game in the first half. 10 points scored in the first quarter, none in the second quarter, a touchdown in the third quarter, and then the explosion there in the fourth quarter. And Toledo scoring a late touchdown in order to not just push this game go over, but for them to backdoor cover this game against Louisville. And then Western Kentucky and Southern Miss played a game that looked like nobody practiced. Western Kentucky wins 27-16. And then the nightcap, maybe the most disappointing performance in bowl season so far, 10-4 UNLV with a high-powered offense led by head coach Dan Mullen, quarterback Anthony Calandria, running back Jet Thomas. Opt-outs? Nah, we're fine. Taking on an Ohio team who dismissed their head coach suddenly and shockingly a week ago. Ohio wins outright 17-10 as a touchdown underdog. That game was the highest total of bowl season at 66.5 points. And it goes way under 17-10. Turnovers upon turnovers upon turnovers, penalties upon penalties upon penalties. The play in these bowl games has been so pathetic that it honestly has me questioning why we still have these games. The college football playoff and the NIL era that we live in has completely demeaned these bowl games. You have a bunch of players that opt out. You have a bunch of coaches that leave to take their next jobs. You have organizations that are left as shell of themselves. Rosters that are left depleted. Schools that are down to third string and fourth string quarterbacks that have to play in these bowl games. Of course you're going to get dumbed down playbooks. Of course you're going to get not a lot of preparation for their opponents. And then it just comes down to the reality of some of these bowl games. Some of these programs, and oh, don't even get me started on the 5-win teams that we're going to see in bowl games this year because of all the teams that have declined invitations to bowl games. So it's not just players opting out, teams opting out as well, where we have to go to the next team and the next team. There was a struggle this year to try and fill these bowl games, let alone get good matchups. There was a struggle to find teams to play in these bowl games. Anyway, 8-3 to the under. And that might be the way that we have to play these bowl games, is just to go under. But what I'm starting to realize, and I've always known this in talking to coaches and talking to people around these programs, I've always known that there's different ways that coaches treat bowl games. And as a handicapper and as a sports bettor, when you're trying to figure out who you want to play and what you want to play in these bowl games, it's important not just to track the opt-outs now with who's playing and who's not playing, but it's important to try and find out as much information as you can. Listen to the coaches' press conferences, read the local beat reporters, try and find out as much information as you can into what the coaches' exact motivations are. How do they coach these bowl games? And it's not just about coaching the bowl games. How do they coach the 3 weeks leading up to the bowl game? Because some coaches view the bowl game as an extension of this season, as another win to earn for this year. Maybe it's because they're trying to reach a milestone. Maybe it's because they're trying to avoid a losing season, right? You have a 6-6 team that goes into a bowl game. The coach is trying to win that 7th win, right? Maybe it's a program that is saying goodbye to a coach or whatever it is. There's all these different reasons for a team wanting to win that bowl game and for a coach coaching that 3-week gap, that month gap or whatever that they have between their final regular season game and their bowl game, because these are most of the time not teams that play in their conference championship game. So there's been like a month in between these games. some coaches treat that month as an extension of the season, right? We're going to continue to work. The job's not done. We're going to go out there in the bowl game. We're going to win that bowl game. And then there's the other side, where coaches treat the bowl games and bowl season as an extension of their offseason, as a start for next year. And so this month of practice, or 3 weeks of practice, the time off that you've had between your last regular season game and your bowl game. Yes, these kids have taken their finals, allegedly, and they've gone home for their breaks or whatever, and they've come back to your program. Some coaches treat that practice time as valuable practice time to get a start on next season, to start to evaluate players that are on your roster that you're trying to figure out if they will be on your roster and how they'll be on your depth chart as you move into the spring. Because the next time that you're going to get to see these kids in live game action is when you have your spring game. And with the restrictions now on practice time, on when you get these kids actually in the building, when the semester starts and all that stuff, it's valuable practice time for some of these coaches. And I got to be honest, watching these bowl games, and it's not just the three games we saw today, watching all of these bowl games, I am starting to believe more and more like these teams are not practicing for this bowl game. They are not game planning for this bowl game. They are not doing the same due diligence on their opponents that they would if this was a regular season matchup. And instead, they are utilizing this practice time to evaluate their rosters. They're utilizing this practice time to get looks at other players and teach these players. And when it comes to the bowl game, they're just rolling out there. Wins and losses don't matter to them. They might give some backups an opportunity to get some live game film, because that's the thing. They're going to watch these players on film, and they're going to evaluate them on how they did in the game situation. It's your final opportunity to get a live in-game look. And for some coaches, that's valuable, because you can afford to do things that maybe you wouldn't do in the regular season when wins and losses mean so much. The play in these bowl games has been terrible. There's no other way around it. We've had some bad, bad bowl games. How do we take advantage from a betting perspective? Again, do your due diligence. Find out which programs the games mean something to and who is coaching and who is playing to win these games. Now, 8-3 to the under is a strong trend. And we have seen money push the total on the Christmas Eve Hawaii Bowl down. But I'm here to tell you, and I'll explain coming up next, why the move towards the under is the wrong move, and why the Hawaii Bowl coming up here on Wednesday night between Hawaii and Cal might just be the perfect recipe to save bowl season. That's coming up next. Hey, Fremont Street Experience is always on. We know that. But this New Year's Eve, they're turning it all the way up. Ring in 2026 at Countdown Under the Canopy, happening December 31st all night long. You'll get 6 live concerts on 3 stages featuring Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, and Chingy, plus a massive countdown and light spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street Canopy. One ticket, one night, just $60. And the party starts at 7 p.m. Grab your tickets now at VegasExperience.com, the Slotzilla box office, or at any gate location on December 31st. I'm Scott Sadenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. It's Cashing Out here on VSIN, the sports betting network.
VSIN, the sports betting network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at Scott's on there and hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live, as we have just one game here on Christmas Eve Wednesday. That's right. No NBA, as the NBA takes its break before the marquee games coming up on Christmas. No NHL, as the hockey takes a Christmas break. No college basketball. Nope. We got one game on Christmas Eve, and hopefully it's the best game of them all. I talked about how bad bowl season has been so far, how the play on the field has been really, really poor, looking like these kids haven't practiced or prepared for these games, and they're just rolling out there and playing out the strings, and that's the reason why the unders have been cashing, 8-3 to the under, despite a miraculous over that occurred earlier here on Tuesday with the late scores in the fourth quarter in the Louisville game against Toledo. 8-3 to the under in bowl season. And that's reason why we have seen the total get pushed down for this Wednesday night game, Christmas Eve, out on the islands between Hawaii and Cal. This line opened up around 55, 54 and a half or so, and we have seen it get pushed down all the way to 50 and a half, even flat 50s in the market here between Hawaii and Cal. And I actually think that's a mistake. Weather is going to be fine, 80 degrees or so, not a lot of wind there in this game there in Honolulu. And we have two coaches that understand how important this game is. For Hawaii and their head coach, Timmy Chang, this is their first Hawaii Bowl appearance since 2019. This is a game that was taken away from them and that was then given back to them. They understand the importance of this game out on the islands. And for the Hawaii program, it means something to them. It is a source of pride to play in this game. There will be no half-you-know-what effort in this game for Hawaii. They are playing to win this football game. And for Cal, they are led by their interim coach, Nick Rolovich, a former Hawaii quarterback who was Timmy Chang's backup when they played together, took over for Timmy Chang when he got hurt, and then eventually went on to become the head coach at Hawaii. Nick Rolovich knows how important this game is. So much so that he would not disrespect this game by not having his team prepared and ready to play in this game. We have two quarterbacks in Hawaii's Micah Alahato and in Cal's starting quarterback, JKS. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name. We just call him JKS. That are both Hawaii-born kids. Yeah, Alahato, you know, was a Vegas kid, played at Bishop Gorman, but he is a Hawaii kid. And JKS, a Hawaii kid as well. Both quarterbacks will certainly have friends in attendance, certainly family in attendance. Playing in this game, a source of pride for both of these quarterbacks, for both of these coaches. They're going to put on a show in this game. I would be shocked if both of these coaches come out in this game and run the ball and milk the clock and play conservatively and try and win a 14-10 type game. I cannot see that from these two schools. I cannot see that from these two coaches. I cannot see that from these two quarterbacks. I think both of these coaches will call this game to let their quarterbacks throw it all over the field and have some fun. They will put on a show here on Christmas Eve in the Hawaii Bowl. My best bet number one is the over 50 and a half. Every time I picture this game, every time I map this game out, it comes to an over in my head. Again, it's not, and you can look at the numbers too. You can look at the Hawaii, the way that they've played. You can look at all that stuff. It's hard to evaluate regular season numbers because of, you know, bowl games. We don't know about the players. We don't know about the opt-outs. We don't know about a bunch of things, right? But in this game in particular, we're not going to have a ton of opt-outs. We're not going to have the coaching uncertainty. Well, we know about Rolovich as an interim coach, but he's staying on in that program. He is going to stay and be the offensive coordinator for this Cal program moving into next year. So there's synergy there with Rolovich staying at Cal. And the quarterback, JKS, who's playing in this game, he's coming back to be the quarterback next year. So there is no uncertainty here for Rolovich and for Cal. And for Hawaii playing at home, and we're not going to have opt-outs. Again, this game is important for them. Hawaii on the season, if we look at them compared to Cal, analytically speaking, what the numbers say here. Well, early down EPAs, both these teams have not been good. Late downs, third and fourth downs, though, Hawaii defense has been very good. We look at offensive success, Hawaii 55th, offensive success passing the football. Defensive success against the pass, well, Cal's 50th, right there. Against the run, Cal's 98th. Offensive on the run, Hawaii's 100th. Pretty even teams here in terms of analytically speaking. Overall net EPA per play, number 58 on offense for Cal, number 37 on defense for Cal, number 47 on offense for Hawaii, number 33 on defense for Hawaii. That's net EPA per play. These are pretty even teams. There's a reason why this is a spread that has flipped, right? It opened up as Hawaii as a dog, and then it immediately got bet to Hawaii being a favorite, and now has just been pushed. It's essentially a pick'em game, right? It's a minus 1.5 spread. You could just take the Hawaii money line, minus 115, minus 118, shop around, find the best money line price if you like Hawaii. Same thing with Cal. You can get them at maybe even money. It's the best price you're going to get on them, plus 105. More likely, it's like minus 105, minus 102, depending on your book. But shop around. Maybe you'll get that. This is a close game. As I mentioned, my number one bet is on the over. I think both of these schools put on a show. I think both of these quarterbacks put on a show. I think both of these coaches put on a show. And the fact that they both understand the magnitude of this game, they both understand the importance of this game to Hawaii, to the islands, they're going to treat this is going to be the best. This might be the best bowl game of the season. It really might be the best bowl game of the season. One of the things I like to look at when it comes to handicapping a game, and again, this is one of those rare games where you can actually look at some regular season numbers, because we know we're going to get pretty much the real teams, right? Because we're not getting a whole bunch of opt-outs and coach and lack of coaching staffs or whatever. Like, you're pretty much getting these teams. One of the things that I look for with teams during the regular season when I do my college football handicapping is how you convert in the red zone. Because if you can move down the field, that's great. But if you can score once you get into the red zone, in the most important part of the field, to me, that separates teams. Hawaii is the second best red zone offense in the country. The second best red zone offense in the country. 37 red zone trips for Hawaii this year. 35 red zone scores. 21 touchdowns. A bunch of field goals. We know how great their field goal kicker is, right? For certain. What a great story that kid has been. The Japanese transfer who learned how to kick on YouTube. He's been tremendous. But red zone conversions could be the difference in this game. And to me, I look at Hawaii, second best red zone team in the country. Meanwhile, Cal on defense, 57th in the country on defense in red zone opponents conversions. My best bet in this game is the over. My second best bet in this game is Hawaii on the money line. Give me Timmy Chang, Micah Alejado, and the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors to win the Hawaii Bowl here on Christmas Eve. Don't forget, guys, you can start your morning with VSiN by the books here coming up on Wednesday, featuring Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. It gets started at 7 a.m. Eastern time. And on tomorrow's show, they're going to have Wes Reynolds to give his best bets for not just the Hawaii Bowl, but also the week ahead. Wes is actually going to be at the Rose Bowl watching Indiana take on Alabama. We'll see if his Hoosiers can get themselves to the college football playoff semifinals. That will be followed by a numbers game at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Then stick around for prop points with John Hansen at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Scott Sattenberg. You guys can follow me on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. I will be back with you right here tomorrow night, Christmas Eve, on Cashing Out, hopefully celebrating a Hawaii win and an over in the Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.